Yeah, so I'm a bit tired because I've got
to... You shouldn't be saying that before you're doing a...
Doing a podcast, yeah, doing an entertainment thing.
People are thinking that you come G'd up, you're ready to go, you're all excited, and now you're giving a message of tiredness.
I've got to do a sleep... What is it, a sleepover study thing for my snoring tonight at the hospital?
Whether you are...
I've got sleep apnea.
Sleep, which is means that you just die for a second or so.
Apparently.
You go down. And then you sort of snap back to life.
Yeah, well, I'm a bad snorer, but as the doctor said... You wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for your wife, would you? I'm like, nah. My snoring doesn't affect me.
No.
You don't hear it. And I don't wake up.
Does your own snoring ever wake you up, though?
No.
So you never go...
No, I don't think so, no.
What about when you go to the theatre or to the movies or something? Didn't you bang out a bit of a snore in a movie?
No, I've never... No. I don't fall asleep much at movies or theatre or anything like that. Not that I've been to the theatre for a long time.
Have you recorded it?
My wife said she was trying to record it, but hasn't yet. So I don't look. I'm going to find out tonight the definitive answer. But a friend of the show, Brad Oakes, he's done it twice, a sleepover thing.
Yeah.
And because the doctor's just going, oh, it's like a hotel room. He goes, Oakes, he said, it's a hospital. You know what I mean? So they can be noisy places.
Yeah.
I've got my own room.
Yeah.
With TV, apparently. But so I haven't been. I've been trying to stay awake. Normally I would have a nap.
So what you're doing the smart thing. Like a friend of mine, when he flies international, he doesn't sleep the night before because he knows when he gets on the plane.
Fall asleep.
Yeah. Having said that, he's up the pointy end, so it's pretty easy to sleep up the pointy end, as we all know.
Oh yeah, the pointy end. Yeah. He much easier than
turns
the
left.
End.
Yeah.
I'd been down by the back, but down by the toilets.
Yeah.
But actually, Brad Oakes has got one of the best snoring jokes ever.
Can you reuse it?
Oh, I can tell everyone now and give him credit.
We're talking
about it the other day. Yeah. What about how his snoring was so bad that when he was snoring, a lion came out of the wardrobe and said, "Hey, mate, keep it down. You're affecting everyone in Narnia." It's a great joke. As my son said, is that a joke for like geeks? I'm like, well, no, everyone in our generation remembers The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
Yeah, I don't, but anyway.
You don't remember that book?
Well, no.
Well, yeah, there was a lion and a witch, and they lived in a wardrobe. Yeah, and the kids went through. See, this is why Oaksy was saying the joke doesn't always work because people like you are sitting there going, "Why is he talking?"
Oh, I would know where to laugh. I noticed.
Yeah, you know where to laugh.
Play that back. You'll hear me laugh at the right spot. Yeah. I think you do that with most of my jokes.
You were just wondering. So, what did you think? Why a lion came out of the wardrobe?
I was actually thinking of another joke, but I won't do it.
Anyway. I'll give you a full report next time.
But a friend of mine, if you do have to get the machine,
the
EPAP or the PAP.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called,
They love it. Love it.
Yeah.
And then you get a travel pack version.
Oh, wow.
And so you put in a little suitcase. I mean, if you go and do gigs on the road, you're going to have to take your little...
CPAC case.
You have to share a room.
I never share a room.
Well, you'll be fine then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just connect it up and snore away and...
How does a CPAC thing affect your love life? Yeah.
Well, I think it's... You know what you do? You pretend you're the Elephant Man.
Yeah. Or Darth Vader. Luke. No, that's your son, isn't it? Oh, there's the music. Oh, here we go.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So don't look. If it goes a bit quiet, it means that you've nodded
off. I've fallen asleep.
Yeah, I'll throw a glass of water in your face.
Oh.
If you fall asleep. But knowing you, the professional that you are, you'll be on your game and ready to go. Because I know as soon as you hear the two topics, you'll light up like a computer.
Yep.
You'll just go crazy trying to find that answer. Because and I got a good feeling about this. I don't know what it is, but I got a good feeling.
Okay, what are the topics, Sam?
Dr. Seuss and post-war Japan.
Sorry, I nodded off there. Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, I reckon both of these...
They play to my...
Yeah,
lot.
You would have read all Hog... What is it? Hog goes to...
Sam, I am Sam. Redfish. Oh, Cat in the Hat's a pain in the ass. He just turns up to a house where there's two kids by themselves and ruins the house. And they have to get it ready when the mum comes home, I think it is. My kids... My youngest son loved Dr. Seuss. I tell you what, though, they're really long books. You get to like halfway, and you're like, Jesus, he really strung this story out.
What makes a good hit kids' book, do you reckon? Because I think everyone thinks that they can write a kids' book, but
everyone does.
Yeah, everyone goes.
The amount of people that I meet go, oh, I've got a good idea for a kids' book.
Yeah,
I think it's something that gets the kids' interest, Also, there's something to be said for telling the story in a different way. There's a great series of books which is called Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus. See, that's a stupid idea.
Yep.
And where the pigeon talks directly to the kid. So you open up the book and the pigeon goes, hey there, hey, you know that bus over there? Can you just give me the keys?
Right.
No, it starts with the bus driver looking at you and going, I've just got to go and get a drink. Whatever you do, don't let the pigeon drive the bus, yeah?
And you go, look out.
Yeah, and then you open the page and the pigeon sticks his head and he goes, hey, can I drive the bus?
See, I'm just in. You got me.
Yeah, can I drive the bus? And then you turn the next page, he goes, what do you mean I can't drive the bus? And then, but the pigeon is like a child. So yeah. He does all stuff that kids do and the kids identify with it.
Yeah.
Like he cracks it, he tries to justify it. Like there's people driving buses in other part of the world right now, you know, that kind of, all that stuff. So there's something to be said for that, a different way to tell a story kind of thing.
What's the one, the day my bum exploded or something?
Have you heard that? That was big.
That was huge.
Yeah. I remember touring with the Comedy Festival Road Show, and we were following the bum show around WA, and the guy in the theatre goes, well, the bum show had sold out two nights. You guys are only doing a half a night. And someone said, the bloody bum show. The day my bum went psycho. That's right. It. The bum show was haunting us around WA. Yeah, well, the bum show's done four nights. You guys are only doing one. So, it's something a bit rude, but, you know, if it's too graphic, it's not good. I reckon. What is interesting now is that they've got books for every kid in every family situation. So, you know, my daddy's in jail or, you know, like I've got two mummies or whatever. There's books. There's all social books as well, which is interesting. But I reckon just a good – and also the drawings help too, you know, don't you reckon? The illustrations.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether you can DNA because I wrote some Uncle Arthur books. Uncle Arthur retold.
Oh, did you?
Uncle Arthur retold the
have you got them?
Bedtime stories. Yes, but I don't. It didn't quite work because the people that were going to read those sort of stories didn't know who Uncle Arthur was,
and
because he's sort of undermined every story with his own interpretation, it sort of lost a bit. But the idea of an old man telling a story in his own, well, it was a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
Gotta say, I got three out, but they didn't come back for the next year.
Yes. Well, I did two kids' books because, you know, my partner, Kieran, she's an illustrator.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we did, she doesn't do it anymore, but we did books together before we had kids.
Oh, wow.
But once you have kids, you realize that you weren't doing it. Once you have kids, you read so many books and you see which ones the kids react to, you realize yours aren't that great. That's what you realise. Yeah. One was called Raised by Frank, about a cat who looks after two kids. It's a great idea. A cat bringing up two kids because the mum and dad were away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But.
Anyway, so Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss.
Who? And
I don't think that's his real name. He's a Jewish American guy.
Isn't Seuss his middle name or something?
Yeah, it's like Freldon.
And
Frimes.
He's not a real doctor.
He's not a real doctor. As my mum would say, he's not a proper doctor.
No. He's probably.
I don't know. He's probably got letters in philosophy or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was very prolific. What's that one that they give to people when they leave work? It's called The Places You Can Go. Have you read that one?
No.
That's a great one. So it's sort of inspirational. It's a little bit Anthony Robbins.
Oh, really?
It's the places you will go in this world, and you read it, and you actually feel a little bit uplifted. It, like you go, oh, this has actually got a good message.
Funny,
in it.
Isn't it, when that little thing gets through your defences and go, oh, you got me now.
Yeah,
like with romantic comedy, no, but sometimes you go, oh, I think I'm in now.
Yeah, well, it's not wacky like a lot of Dr. Seuss is wacky, and he did the drawings too, and the drawings were very unique. Actually, you got to say they. If you saw a Dr. Seuss drawing now,
you'd know it straight away.
You'd know it. You'd know that style.
There was a movie, Cat in the Hat, by Mike Myers, which died in the
end. It didn't go very well. Well, it's hard to be the Cat in the Hat.
Because you can't match the imagination.
But one of them went really well. What was the one that was around Christmas time? The Sam, what was the Dr. Seuss movie? The Grinch. I got myself. Jeez. Sorry, Sam. Yeah, The Grinch. Yeah. The Grinch was... That's Dr. Seuss, I think, and that went very well.
And that was
a cartoon.
Was it not a Broadway musical?
Oh, was it?
Sam was...
The Grinch, a Broadway musical.
No, or did Dr. Seuss do something on Broadway?
Oh, might have bought a drink.
Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the musical theatrical production, was created in 1994.
So there you go.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, it never came here.
No. They're trying to turn everything into a musical these days, aren't they? Everything. Russell Coit the musical?
What?
Possible.
Possible. Not a bad idea.
The Nugget? The musical? Yeah.
Uncle Arthur? Uncle Arthur?
The musical? Well, they did The Castle.
Did they?
Yeah,
they
a local. Did not. No, a local theater. I remember Sano told me, friend of yours, a friend of the show, he went and saw it in Doncaster or somewhere like that. Like a local group had done it as a. I don't know if they sang, but they did like a live version of
tell
The Castle.
Him he's dreaming, tell him he's dreaming.
Well, you can imagine how much business that would do if it was good.
Oh, it was good.
But I think they. I don't think it went anywhere. I think it was just local
the
people.
Serenity.
The serenity. I'm going to come to your house, blow your fucking house up. With a bit of dunno, a bit of bazooki in the background, going to blow your bloody house up.
So he's drawing cartoons. Has he ever done anything that crossed the boundaries of kids? Did he ever go outside of that? I'm thinking of Japan now.
Was he
popular in Japan, do you reckon?
It could be. Yeah, like Snoopy.
Did he ever have a character that was...
Probably the Cat in the Hat. The Cat in the Hat's a big one. That's his Mickey Mouse.
Were there any Japanese characters?
Yes, and they were slightly racist, if I can remember rightly. The thing about him was, I know about Dr. Seuss, is that he was enlisted, like a lot of wartime directors and writers and stuff, to help with the war effort. So I know he directed or did something to do with propaganda cartoons or something like that. He did.
Well, look, it sounds like you're getting towards an answer. Let's just talk about.
And he was in charge of other authors. He was like an editor for a while, and he was in charge. I remember he was in charge of Richard Scarry. You know Richard Scarry?
I'm worried because I think you may have solved it. We've only done 10 minutes.
Richard Scarry is the guy who was one of Dr. Seuss's contemporaries.
Yep.
And he wrote all the books, Cars and Trucks and Things That Go. What Do People Do All Day? And people a bit younger than me remember them really well, though. Big in the 70s and the 80s are really big. And it's Huckle Cat and Lowly Worm. See. And there's a family of cats, there's a family of bears, there's a worm.
There's something else I don't remember.
Yeah.
I'll take the rest of the
But anyway,
off.
Dr. Seuss said about Richard Scarry, I don't get it. These books have no story and they're not going to be successful.
They're controversial.
And they were massive hits. Because what it is, the kids love the details of, like the little bear working in the mechanic shop or whatever. Oh, Dr. Seuss, a bit bitchy about other people's writing.
Let's talk about Japan for a minute because I reckon you've...
I've been to Japan. Again, why are we always talking about places that I've been?
But when was post-war Japan? 45, 46.
45, 46.
When did it go to? 50, early 50s?
Oh, God knows.
Obviously, at some point, I think they gave it up in 52, 53.
Oh, the Americans left.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah, okay, we won the war. We get to have your place. We can come over. It's like, you know, you get left a beach house.
I know. You lose the war and then you get people moving in.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Well, look what happened to Germany. They got split up into two countries and there was like a Russian zone and an American zone in Berlin.
Wasn't there Article 9 about Japan? Do you remember that? Where they couldn't – it was some sort of famous article when you draw up the lease agreement.
Oh. Yeah, right. Yeah,
which was, I think, in terms of they couldn't fight a war and they couldn't have a military defense.
Yes.
And then the Americans wanted them to. I wonder if Americans have still got a base there.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, there's American bases there, aren't there? There must be in Japan. Sam, I know there's bases in the Philippines because they always talk about them. Are there American – I'm sure there's Air Force bases in Japan. There's still Air Force bases.
Because they won the war against Japan.
Because they won the war and they're like, well, we're going to have our bases here.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
You try and stop me.
Sam?
The U.S. has many Defense Force bases across Japan since World War II. Japan is also strategically important to the United States being a close ally that it is right next to Russia and China. Having Defense Force bases around the world helps the U.S. project its military power.
Political
evidence. Sam, it's taking sides there,
I think
Sam.
She's crossing the line a little bit there. She's
not just information, but a little bit of attitude and opinion.
See, okay, what else happened? When was the Olympics in Japan?
Oh, God knows.
But there was an Olympics in Japan.
56 was Melbourne. Was it the 60s, Japan?
Yeah, I reckon it was 60.
They're always having the Winter Olympics in Japan. There's always seem to be Winter Olympics in Japan.
Hang on, 57 here in 56, Australia?
56. Yeah.
So it would mean it was 60. It might have been 64.
Munich was 70s, wasn't it? Look.
I'm thinking of the like the Seuss could have done the
logo.
The logo.
Yeah, the mascot.
The mascot.
Which is not. Yeah, but.
Yeah, it's a bit late.
Yeah.
Well, 60s, no, but Dr. Seuss, but post-war Japan is kind of like the first couple of years.
Tokyo Summer Olympics 1964 and the Olympics will be held there again in 2020.
Wow, 64 and 2020.
Sam, what else did they have? When did Toyota start? Is Toyota's Japanese, isn't it?
Yeah.
When did they start building cars? Now, they would have started building cars.
They could have been pre-war.
Yeah, when did they start building Toyota? Because they could.
Remember in Japan? But, remember when everything was made in Japan? Yeah, now everything's made in China. But in the 70s and the 80s.
It was a bit of a joke, wasn't it?
Made in Japan.
Yeah, but now it's kind of like a gesture of indication of quality.
Quality. That's right, because I've got a bass guitar, and the guy said, which I bought in the 80s, and people used to say, oh, that's Jap crap. And now the guy, when I got it fixed up recently, goes, no, this is really good because it was made in Japan in a factory. So,
Toyota?
Toyota Motor Company was founded in August 1937, but its founder had an industrial history stretching back to the 20s.
Yeah, before the war.
You know, because didn't we have a thing where Chupa Chups...
Salvador Dali.
Designed...
Yeah, the packet, yeah. You reckon Dr. Seuss has designed a... I mean, Dr. Seuss invented sushi. Maybe. How funny is sushi, though? Seriously. Who would have predicted that, like... You could go to a suburban shopping mall in, say, Adelaide or even in Broken Hill or wherever, and you can get sushi.
Yeah. You try that with it.
Yeah, but you're telling someone that even 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Hey, mate, in 20 years' time, you can get sushi in any shopping centre. No. What? People eating sushi?
Yeah.
But they put the most ridiculous thing. They put, like, fried calamari and...
Yeah, it's just like,
they're doing that in Japan. They're not doing that in Japan. I've been to Japan and I can't remember. I didn't see hardly any sushi.
Did they have rolls? Did they have?
I didn't see any. Yeah, a little bit, but that might just be for the tourists.
It's funny, isn't it?
There's a lot of fish. I remember there's a lot of fish in Japan.
Mm.
There's a fair bit of crumb chicken on offer, but the food was a lot of rice.
A friend of mine said he went to Japan. There's little ones over any city on public transport.
Yeah,
they're all on their phones looking at the.
Oh, porno.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went there before mobile phones. All I can remember is that we got the. Train from the airport to the hotel, and the airport's quite far away in Tokyo. It's like at least a 40-minute train ride, well, it used to be. And a guy in a Mickey Mouse T-shirt who was drunk started urinating against the door, and this guy got up and just told him off like he was telling off a child. And the guy was really shameful, and our friend who lived in Japan said the only reason he told him off is because you guys were there and was witnessing. Witnessing. But Japan's a great place. You should go there.
Oh, no, I'd like to go
there. They're very polite. It's a very interesting place.
Well, they've got Disney World there, so it's haven't they?
Yeah, they've got Disney World. It's worth it for that. It's good. It's one of those joints where you just walk around and go, oh, my God, what? Oh, there's a giant peanut on the building. What's going on there?
I believe it's very expensive, though.
Oh, it wasn't that expensive.
What, it is now, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I went a while ago.
Look, I think you are heading down a pretty good road. Should we have some? What sort of music do you want?
Oh. Japanese? Traditional Japanese. Is not it? Sushi shop Japanese. We
not karaoke. Not karaoke.
The local sushi shop, which I go to a lot, I'm trying to stop going there because I think rice, my dietitian, Husey, has told me, don't have rice every day, you idiot, apparently. I can't have a sushi roll every day. Anyway.
It's not good for you.
All the guys are the Chinese that work there. They're not Japanese. But the guy said people still come in and speak Japanese to him. Like all the people go, you know, konnichiwa. And then he goes, no, I'm Chinese. I'm not Japanese.
You know those weird shows they do in Japan where they...
Yeah,
they
game shows.
They torture people. Yeah. And I've got to admit, I did see one the other day that made me laugh. And it was a Japanese karaoke show where the guy... You could see the top half of the guy, but there was a curtain in front of him, and there'd be a girl there who I assume was his girlfriend, dressed in a nurse's uniform, and she was masturbating him, but he had to sing karaoke at the same time.
What channel were you on? Were you on a train in Tokyo looking at this on your phone?
It's true. But don't believe me. Look up. I don't know what it was called.
It's a very odd society. They're very restrained.
Yeah.
But there's also this very dark underside of Japan.
But it is quite funny.
Do you read the fact there's this whole...
Singing like this.
There's a whole...
Once, twice, three times a lady.
There's a whole strata of Japanese young men that are shut-ins. There's like 40,000 or some amazing figure where they've just given up on life and they just stay indoors. They don't go outside.
Yeah.
I think they might be playing computer games.
Yeah, that's a bit like me. That's what I
do. Yeah, you know. You're singing karaoke. All right, let's have some Japanese music. Here we go.
Here we go. They have
like a mandolin kind of, or a sitar-y thing.
Sitar-y thing.
I don't know what they're called. And Greece, they call them a bazooki. The bazooki, I was mentioning them before. No, I don't know what they're called. You know, they have stand-up in Japan, but they sit down. I heard it on the plane when I went there.
So the stand-up comedian sits down.
Yeah, and it's like they don't call it stand-up. It's like storytelling, but it's got the same rhythm as stand-up. So it's like this. And then you hear all this laughter, and it's like, oh my God. It's like, I remember reading an article about a guy who went and watched it and just said it was amazing. There were younger guys trying it out, then the legend comes on, like the old comic, and just, you know, nails it, smashes it, man. All right, I've got an idea.
I liked your idea, but I would say, I'm going to say Dr. Seuss was the first, because I reckon when in post-war,
yeah,
the Americans would have gone and obviously occupied.
Yeah.
It had to be some sort of transition thing where they had to...
give it over.
No, where they had to learn to live in Japanese society. Yep. And I reckon they've written some educating...
books.
Cartoons.
Comics.
Books for the kids to learn how to live in Japan. There you go.
Oh, wow.
What do you think?
I think Dr. Seuss did a propaganda film post-war about the evils of Japan or something like that.
Is that it? Because he was involved with propaganda.
Yeah, he was definitely involved with propaganda films in America. So I reckon he was brought over there to do a...
Because he had done films before. But you think there was a movement there to do propaganda films after the war?
Cartoon. Yeah, okay.
Okay, fire away. Sam, what's the answer?
In 1947, Dr. Seuss, along with his then-wife Helen, wrote a documentary film about Japan's violent history up to and including the Second World War. The film called Design for Death was put together from confiscated newsreels and propaganda vision with a narrator speaking over the top. It was based on a U.S. Army film called Our Job in Japan that was released immediately after the Second World War ended. Design for Death won an Academy Award in 1948 for Best Documentary Picture. Even during the war, Dr. Seuss was also publishing his own anti-Japanese propaganda cartoons in a New York newspaper. Dr. Seuss left his characters and work to his second wife Audrey when he died in 1991. After the Cat in the Hat film starring Mike Myers flopped in 2003, Audrey Drive Seuss's second wife said she will never again allow Hollywood to portray Seuss characters in live action.
Well, there you go.
We were sort of both right.
So that's not bad. In the you know, bit of propaganda made a film. I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting.
It's interesting though. What Sam added on there, which is
she's never done that before.
She's getting very involved.
Not rude, but take a little bit of liberty there. Just go. Here's a bit of more information.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Imagine being Mike Myers. Imagine having that news delivered to you.
Yeah.
Hey, you know that movie you did? Well, the woman of the guy who created that hated it so much, doesn't want any more movies ever again.
Mary Poppins, she hated everything.
Yeah. Mary Poppins is a good movie.
Yeah.
What's there to hate?
Yeah.
It's harsh. Harsh getting that news.
Mm. Anyway, so there you have it. Another Dr. Seuss post-war Japan little
discussion. The Cat in the Hat came back. There's another. Well, it did come back. So there could have been a sequel. Especially the producers think, oh, we're going to do a lot of these Cat in the Hat movies. Mike, get ready, mate. There's going to be at least four of these Cat in the Hat movies.
I wonder what he started with. Do you reckon he started with the drawings?
Or the idea. Yeah. I think they're very they're like a poem, aren't they? So I think he would start with the words, you'd think.
I don't want to say too much, but I think you're falling asleep.
What? read a book for me, Dad. Can you give me that Dr. Seuss?
Well, you can report back on.
I will. There. The sleep study.
Yeah.
Cat in the Hat.
Yeah.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.